This is the Locked On Yankees podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Alongside Gary Phillips, I'm Sean St. Jacques, breaking down New York Yankees baseball here on Locked On Yankees. Been a big couple days for the Bombers. They returned home for their first two games of the season. Took a little while to get to those games. A couple of weather delays, some snow in the Bronx in April as well, but the Yankees are finally off and running. They won again today. They play the Orioles later on. And Gary, it's been the offense that's been coming alive as of late. We're going to get to Luis Severino later on as well. And some guys that maybe are a little under the radar that no one's been talking about yet in the first few games. And we got a lot of good stuff on the show.
Yeah, so you mentioned it taking forever to get these games in. I've been at the stadium the last 3 days. On Monday, I conveniently parked my car 2 minutes before the game was postponed. So, you know, parking was already paid.
You've gone too far.
Gone a little too far. A little poor timing there. But I got done what I needed to accomplish, including getting a little bit of insight for this podcast. But yeah, the offense, man, Bronx Bombers indeed. Today you got Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez going deep all in one game. And Yankees fans have to be wondering how many more times is this going to happen this season, because it's not far-fetched to think it can be a common occurrence.
No question. Before we get it, dive deep into it, in case you're not familiar with us, my personal background, again, we're just trying to make sure we get familiar with you guys and vice versa. As we continue to roll with this podcast here on Locked On Yankees, my background is not only in baseball, but in college basketball as well. And now with baseball season coming around, I'll definitely be getting more into that, not only with the Yankees, but with other organizations as well. And Gary, of course, you will be with the Yankees a lot this season.
Yeah, so I will be at Yankee Stadium a lot for sporting news. I'll be writing features about the Bronx Bombers. I'll be also using that access to do some stories on the other teams that come through, and maybe some broader league-wide stories as well. But other than that, I'm with Jets Wire, run by USA Today Sports Media Group. And then, you know, me and Sean go back a few years now. We're both Seton Hall grads, and we're excited to bring this podcast to you.
Yeah, so you can catch us also on Jets Wire, SB Nation for us as well, and at least for me, and also, of course, Gary with Sporting News. All right, let's dive into this, Gary. We'll start with the offense, and you were there today, and it really started, at least today, with Giancarlo Stanton finally getting a little bit of a monkey off of his back.
Yeah, well, you know, there was some ridiculous booing yesterday with the five strikeouts in his home debut, but he put the fans to bed quickly today. I mean, jeez, that ball was just smoked. I was as soon as he made contact, I was worried for the safety of the people in left field, and it was the hardest hit, rightfully so on my part. It was the hardest hit ball this season, according to StatCast, just under 118 miles per hour exit velocity, 458 feet. I mean, goes without saying, the guy is very strong.
There's a reason they put watch out for bats and balls in the back of every seat in Yankee Stadium.
Right. It does not matter how far out you are. You're not safe.
Not with this lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe with the Rays, but not with the Yankees lineup.
Exactly. And then, you know, aside from Stanton, you got Judge getting his first home run of the year, another laser. Gary Sanchez hit one a mile high. I wasn't sure it was going to go out, but it got just over the left field wall. And all three of them were two-run shots. So, yeah, it's really something to see all three of those guys kind of connect, and of course that happens the day after Didi hits two home runs, eight RBIs, you know, 18 total runs in the last 2 days. It's crazy.
It's funny with the Stanton thing. I think the good sign there, not only that he hit a home run today, but I think some people were a little bit worried about how he was going to adjust to New York. I thought he handled it in the media about as perfectly as you could have. And I'm sure you would attest the same thing. I mean, it's the eight RBIs from Didi. I love the quote saying, you know, Didi is the cleanup guy having to pick up all the garbage that he was kind of laying down with those five strikeouts, taking responsibility for what he had done in that game, and giving the credit to the guy that picked him up that day as well. I mean, that is all New Yorkers and New York fans are looking to see, is that you're willing to own up, but you're also willing to, you know, see when somebody else is carrying the team and give them credit, and not just because you're the superstar, but because Didi had a heck of a performance on opening day and made for another great Yankees opening day memory.
Yeah, so, I mean, Stanton was terrible yesterday. I mean, he said so himself, and he owned up to it in the media. It was his first real test in front of the New York press, and he aced it with flying colors. He's got a good sense of humor. He's got a good personality. He's a little goofy, a little bit of an oddball. Not that that's a bad thing in any way, but yeah, he showed that personality a little bit after the 5K performance, and it was impressive. It was impressive for a guy being thrown into that situation for the first time, and then, you know, he bounced back with the home run in his first at-bat on Wednesday, and all of a sudden fans don't remember it.
Exactly, and of course, huge for Aaron Judge as well. Again, the sixth game is the charm for the second season in a row for him, getting his first home run, and I think that was a big thing for him as well. I don't know if the pressure of getting Giancarlo Stanton had anything to do with it. Probably didn't, but I think just pressure he's putting on himself to try to get going.
He
finally broke out as
well. Yeah, you know, I don't think he's been pressing at all. I think we've seen a very clear attack from opposing pitchers, depending on what they have in their own arsenal, but for the most part, guys are pounding him inside and going soft down low, trying to get him to chase, and he's been incredibly patient, still drawing walks. You know, he took a few singles and, you know, some non-extra base hits that you're used to seeing from him, but he took a few pitches what he was given in the last few days, and then today he got a hold of one and it, you know, skyrocketed out of the park. So I don't think there's really any issue with Judge, or the sample size is incredibly small. I'm actually very impressed with his approach and how he's stuck to it and remain patient.
What are your thoughts on how Gary Sanchez's young season has gone as well? He also was off to a little bit of a slow start out of the gates, and now he finally breaks out as well. And for a number of different factors, people are bringing it up. But I look at the fact that defensively, he's really come out strong. The third game of the season, he throws a gun to a bullet to second base to throw out a Blue Jay runner. He's been managing the pitchers extremely well. He's, you know, obviously you have to work now with the 6 mound visits per game. He seems to be doing pretty well with that so far. It's the young season, but I feel like Gary Sanchez maybe at the plate is still trying to figure things out. It's early, but he's doing the other things that people thought he wouldn't improve on. He's doing pretty well.
Well, here's the thing, Sean, and people are ignorant to this. Gary Sanchez is a good defensive catcher.
There's no question about it.
You bring up the arm. He
threw a rocket.
There's never been a debate about his arm. His arm's phenomenal. He's a good pitch framer, and his biggest weakness last year was the pass balls, the wild pitches. And going back to spring training, you've seen it now in a few games, particularly when Montgomery was on the mound the other day. He has done a phenomenal job so far in the early going of blocking balls, keeping them in front of him, and some of the damage that's been done against Yankees pitchers could be a lot worse if not for his defensive efforts thus far. And as for the stuff at the plate, he's going to be fine. He's arguably the best hitter on this team. You know, got one on Wednesday, and there's going to be many, many more to come.
And keep in mind, the Yankees are also dealing with some injuries as well. So this is going to be a team that can also get better as the season goes along, but also could get some guys back that could add to the lineup as well, Aaron Hicks being one of the notables there as well.
Yeah, so Hicks was in today. He's been hitting the last 2 days. He said he expects to be back, hopefully, when that 10-day designation on the DL is up. He doesn't have an exact timetable. Aaron Boone confirmed the same thing. He said the Yankees are still weighing whether or not to have him see whether he needs live pitching or not before he comes back, but it sounded more or less like Hicks could be back at the end of the 10 days, which is great news for New York.
All right, Gary, let's move on now to Luis Severino, who pitched really well during this quick 2-game homestand against the Rays, was really strong. worked his way deep into the ball game. And really, the big thing is he kept his pitch count down. We saw early on in the Blue Jays series, Aaron Boone kind of had a quick trigger. He wasn't really too keen on letting guys go deep into the ball game. Wanted to give that bullpen a lot of work as well. But Luis Severino has had a great start to his season, as good as anybody really on the entire team.
He's a stud. Yeah. I mean, plain and simple, he is a stud, and I know I said that on the last podcast, and I'm not basing that off of two starts, but more based on what he did last year in big games, what he did last year going up against other teams' aces, and also just on his personality. I mean, this is a big game pitcher. I think he's going to do something really special this year, just like he did last season. But on Wednesday, he really came through for the Yankees, for their bullpen, for Aaron Boone, who said before the game that he was really looking to extend Severino today, and he gave him 7.1 innings, 92 pitches. That's what you need out of your ace. You know, he looked like a workhorse today, and he was phenomenal.
I really like what I've seen also from Masahiro Tanaka early on in the season for the most part as well. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the rotation so far has been fine. You know, a little, you'd like the pitch counts to be a little bit lower, but when they're in the game, they're doing their job and they're keeping the opposing offenses at bay.
I also like, first of all, the potential, but also early on from Jordan Montgomery as well in that five spot. He could be a guy that could really end up being an unsung hero for this rotation. I think we briefly mentioned this on the last podcast.
This is somebody Yankees fans should be excited. Yeah. No different than they're excited about other youngsters like Severino and Sanchez and Judge and Wade and Torres coming and Andujar is up. You know, Montgomery's another guy you should be really excited about. He's got good stuff. He had an excellent rookie year, and he's got a lot of potential.
And also the bullpen's been pretty solid as well so far. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches in that bullpen. You got Chad Green, Tommy Canely. Finally got to see Chasen Shreve for a little bit as well. And then, of course, the big guns at the back end with Robertson, Chapman as well. I'll say this, I've still been a little, again, it's early, but the carryover with Dellin Betances is a little bit of a concern, just based on the fact that there's times where he still is having trouble locating that curveball, and the fastball, he's not always consistently throwing that for strikes. Is that a big cause for concern going forward?
Yeah, you know, right now it's tough to kind of figure out what's up with Betances, because it dates back to last season, you know, the end of September and October as well. He worked on his mechanics all offseason and in spring training. He had a really good spring. So you got to wonder if it's just a matter of mentality and confidence, because the few times he's been out on the mound this season, he just doesn't seem to have it.
I tried to remember like when it started last year. I don't know if you remember a game. I just remember at one point there just was a stretch where he just didn't have the curveball, nasty curveball, yep. And it just started to affect the rest of his his fastball, obviously, he had to rely on that a lot more, but his demeanor on the mound, he just lost confidence, and then in the postseason, there were games where you literally couldn't keep him out
there.
Well,
it was really weird, because there was a stretch of time where Aroldis Chapman was hurt, and yes, Betances was filling in as the closer.
Exactly.
This was before the David Robertson trade, and he was electric, and then, you know, it was almost as if his, not to say his role became lesser, but he kind of moved more to the seventh inning once Robertson came aboard. It was like once he moved up to earlier in the game, he got progressively worse. So I don't know if he took it as a slight, or he wasn't happy about going backwards, or if that was how he perceived it. I don't know what it was, but going back to kind of late August of last year or September, through the postseason and now into the early start of the 2018 season, he's not the pitcher that Yankees fans have grown to know.
Also in the rotation, Sonny Gray, pretty solid. I mean, 7 hits in that first outing, but he could be a guy. Again, the potential with the starting rotation is there. The depth that could be there, 5 really strong starting pitchers. Of course, the front three, looking for that experience from CC Sabathia, Masahiro Tanaka. But I did want to get back to Severino, because the potential there is there. And now you're, again, it's early and you try not to get jumped too far ahead, but there's already a little bit, a teensy little bit of Cy Young talk around him. There was at times last year as well.
He was very much in the race last year.
And the ace for the Yankees could be right there again. And, of course, you've got the Sales of the world in the American League. But certainly if Severino – I mean, you can look at Severino's stuff. It's about as good as anybody's got in Major League Baseball. 100-mile-per-hour fastball, nasty off-speed stuff. And the slider that you mentioned is just off the charts.
Yeah, so you bring up the slider and his stuff. And if you've been paying attention and watching his last two starts closely, you'll notice – that he's throwing different variations of his slider. Last year, the pitch almost had an exclusively tight, sharp spin and break to it, and now he's mixing in sliders that have varying degrees of, you know, swoopiness and sweepiness, and some are slower, some are tighter, some are bigger spins. And I asked him about that today, and he confirmed to me, you know, this is something he's doing on purpose. He's been working on it since the offseason and in spring training. I talked to Austin Romine about it, and he said it's amazing, you know, that he's turned one pitch into three or four in addition to throwing a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. I mean, it's kind of rude of the guy. you know, it's not very fair, and you've seen it work quite nicely over these first two starts, and it just makes you wonder with that adjustment, how much better he can be this year compared to last season.
Not exactly welcoming for opposing hitters.
it's incredibly mean of him.
Just doing his job. And a guy that I did want to also point out, a guy personally that I love to see out there is Chad Green. And a guy that I think long-term, again, comparisons with relievers are tough. Everyone's got their own routine. Everyone's got their own ways of going out there, different styles about them, and sometimes different pitches that they go to. But Chad Green kind of reminds me a little bit of a righty Andrew Miller, the way he goes out there. He's very versatile. He can go multiple innings. Yep. He's got the stuff that's electric, and he's extremely tough to figure out for opposing hitters. He could be one of the most versatile pitchers maybe in the entire American League.
So one of the reasons Green is so tough to figure out is because his fastball has almost this rising action to it.
Kind of like a softball rise ball.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
And it's darting upward on hitters as it comes toward them. And again, you know, it's unfair at 99, 100 miles per hour. It's just obnoxious of the pitcher.
How dare he?
He's terrific. And last year he had 103 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And he didn't come up until early May.
Right.
I mean, he's starting the whole year with
the behind.
Right. He's starting the whole year with the team, and now the Yankees also know what he's capable of. They didn't know at the start last year, so you figure just that's going to factor into more usage. You wonder if the guy is going to be able to rack up, you know, between 130 and 150 strikeouts out of the bullpen.
One thing I did want to ask, and I wasn't planning on asking this on the show, but it just popped up. Like, Chad Green was a guy that probably wanted to be a starting pitcher, and now he's so good out of the bullpen. And we've also seen in the past where other bullpen guys have tried to become starters, hasn't always worked out. I have to think the Yankees have to be looking at Chad Green and thinking, if things stay the same, we want this guy to be in this role for a while as we try to build towards another dynasty.
Yeah, you know, he came into spring training and he got what I call the Adam Warren treatment.
Yeah.
You're going to compete for the fifth starting job, but it's not going to go to
kind
you.
Kind of already know who's
you
going
know,
to.
You know, just like you knew the last 3 years, Warren wasn't going to be a starter.
Right.
And the truth is, he's better off in the bullpen. Because right now, he's only got two really good pitches. He probably can't maintain his velocity over an extended outing. And
yeah.
In fact, based on what we've seen of him in a few starts, we know he can't. So he's a lot better off where he is right now. And I don't know how he feels about that, but I also think he won't regret it come arbitration and free agency.
And as we've seen, I mean, in the past, I hate to bring up you-know-who, but Jabba Chamberlain, it just didn't work out for him. And we've seen it's so much easier to go from being a starter to being reliever than the other way around. I mean, Phil Hughes was the perfect example of that in 2009, kind of was the fifth starter, maybe a Jordan Montgomery kind of role now. He goes to the bullpen. He was fantastic.
Right.
And now you look at Chad Green and you're thinking, man, he just looks like he's set to be in this role maybe for five years.
And even between, you know, the days of Jabba and Hughes, which weren't that long ago, but right. between then and now, I mean, the bullpen is just so much more important to a team's success, where it's not failed starters make up the majority of your bullpen outside of a setup guy and a closer. It's we're grooming guys to be these weapons, and that's what the Yankees' entire bullpen is right now.
And of course, the other part of that is that when Jabba was getting started, not everybody consistently threw 100 out of the bullpen.
Right.
Now
it's a dime a dozen.
Exactly. Everyone's got a guy, at least maybe more than a guy, that can throw 98 to 100 consistently. And for the Yankees, they're lucky they've got probably three or four of those guys on their bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, again, and just like the offense, it's an embarrassment of riches, especially in terms of power.
All right, Gary, let's finish up the podcast. Want to get into some unsung heroes, guys that early on no one's really talking about, but because of the fact that guys like Judge and Sanchez and in some ways Stanton have gotten out to a little bit of a slow start, really been picking up the slack. We mentioned Didi, a guy that I wanted to mention as well that's looked really good out of the gates. Not only Tyler Wade, but Brandon Drury's been looking really good too, swinging the bat.
Yeah, I mean, the back end of this lineup is really solid. There are no easy outs here, and Drury's a player I think that's going to be a huge impact, a huge addition for them this season. He swings a really nice bat. He's improved his swing over the offseason working with J.D. Martinez. You saw the home run the other day. I mean, he's got some serious launch angle in there. He's going to hit the goal.
Some exit velocity. Now,
he hit 30-something doubles last year, and I think he said his goal was to come into this year and turn those doubles into more home runs. And if you looked at where his hands and his elbows were on that home run the other day, you can see they're very high up. He's taken a huge uppercut, and yeah, the ball got out with ease. So I think he's going to do big things with the bat for them.
I did want to get into Tyler Wade. He looks completely different than last year. Obviously, he changed his batting stance quite a bit in the box. Looks like a completely different stance. And I think in the Blue Jays series, he was just looking for a moment to contribute, to get a big hit. I believe in the third game, he finally got that hit. And he looks like his confidence from there has absolutely soared into the Rays series. And he just looks like a completely different player at the plate. And of course, you add in his great defense. And again, it's just another great-looking Yankee on the rise.
Right, yeah. So the reason that swing looks different is because he worked out with Albert Pujols over the winter. And yeah, he looks like
He
looks like a totally different ball player. I mean, he's put on a little bit of muscle. The swing is a lot more elevated. There's confidence that wasn't there last year. And he brings a tremendous amount to the team with his versatility.
I think the other thing you got to keep in mind is also Tyler Austin's role early on in the season as well. Again, it was in a loss, had two huge home runs in that third game against the Blue Jays as well.
Double the other day.
And a double as well.
Got on base Wednesday.
Again, just more potential, but then it comes down, and it's a good problem to have, but when a guy like Aaron Hicks gets back off the DL, now you got to kind of reshuffle again and see where these guys are at and where Aaron Boone wants to put them in the long term.
So Boone was asked on Tuesday about Austin in regards to Greg Bird, and you know, at what point do you, for lack of a better phrase, move on? And Boone basically just said, you know, sometimes opportunity knocks, sometimes it kicks the door in. And I thought that was a great quote, because that kind of sums up how Tyler Austin is seizing this opportunity that he's getting right now. He's playing really well. He's getting on base. He's showing power. He's showing consistency that he hasn't been able to in the past because of injuries of his own. And now, if he keeps this up, he's going to be yet another young Yankee to be hyped about.
And then in the infield as well, Neil Walker early on as well.
Yep.
For the Yankees, seems to be doing the job pretty well. I wanted to ask you quickly, because we're not sure how long he's going to stay up, Billy McKinney, his debut, obviously got injured as well. What's his shelf life in the big leagues, you think?
I mean, he came up as a fill-in, and unfortunately, he quickly got hurt. There's nothing really new on him as far as when he's going to return. He's a guy that I see being kind of a yo-yo player this year, up and down from the minors.
I like that, as needed.
That's not a comment on his intelligence. Back and forth, right. up and down from
walking
the
dog and then bringing it back up to the hand.
Right. I think he's gonna be a good fill-in. He's got a stroke that's tailor-made for Yankee Stadium from the left side. He showed some pop during spring training. He added some flexibility, being able to play first base. He started working on that in the Arizona Fall League. So he's got some value. I just don't know that he's a fixture when healthy.
It's going to be really interesting as well when these guys get healthy as well. I know you also wanted to mention Austin Romine as well and his change in the batting stance. I know you retweeted this today, and it was really interesting how it not only did he change his batting stance, he kind of changed the way he gets into his swing and hits in general. It looks completely different.
Yeah, so Sungmin Kim, my good friend on Twitter, he tweeted out side-by-side pictures.
Yeah, we're looking at him now.
Of him last year. And last year you can see Romine, he's got his hands up, his legs are open with his front leg kind of going toward the third base line. And this year he's got that front leg going towards the first base line. His elbows are a little more flattened out, extended. And he told me, I asked him about it today, the change, and he said basically he wants to be able to get a more direct swing, you know, put better wood on the ball, take a shorter path to the pitch. And it paid off tremendously in spring training. He had a terrific spring, and he's played well in his few opportunities this year. He had two hits on Wednesday, so it's working for him.
It's crazy. You start thinking about so many young players on this team and the logjam that just goes on and on and on back. I mean, now you at the back end, you're thinking about, you know, Miguel Andujar. You're thinking about Clint Frazier as well. I mean, we could end up seeing a lot of these guys during the season, depending on how things play out.
This might shock some people, because I know there was a lot out there who saying, "Oh, Brian Cashman's got to be fired. He has no idea what he was doing a few years ago."
Right. Right.
I know there was definitely a contingency among the fan base. He knows what he's doing. he knows what he's doing. He's doing a phenomenal job. This team is only going to get better in the coming years with the wealth of prospects that they have. The future's looking bright. There's not really a sore spot on this roster or in the minors.
We'll get out of here on this. I mean, the race that I think could end up developing, Gary, between the Yankees and the Astros. It just seems like it's tailor-made for another collision course between these two clubs. The depth in the offensive lineups for both teams. You look at the rotation. Houston now has Gerrit Cole. They get Justin Verlander for a full season.
Right.
The Yankees get to see what they have in Jordan Montgomery. Luis Severino gets his chance again as the ace of the staff and looks phenomenal. Masahiro Tanaka, CC Sabathia is back to be the veteran. And the bullpen for the Yankees obviously is the big advantage. And all the big guns there are back as well. And they just, early on, again, it's so early that the sun has not even gotten over the horizon yet, but you just look and the attitudes of both teams, that they've been there before, the confidence in both teams, it just seems like, again, it's early, but you just look and you're just like, those are two teams that look like they could meet in a rematch in the ALCS.
Not just this year, but for many going forward. And
a lot of young guys on both sides.
Right, and it's really funny because they got to this point in such contrasting styles, and
100%.
I realize the Yankees have more money to work with and play with to make their approach feasible, where it wasn't in Houston. But I mean, the Astros essentially went through a 3-4 year tank to build what they have now. The Yankees flipped the switch and did it in half a season. obviously from a fan's perspective, there's a preferred approach, but not every franchise is in that position to do it that way. But here we are now. We've got two really good, young, exciting teams. They're going to both be really good this year. They're going to both be really good for years to come, and it should be fun.
Coming up next for the Yankees this week, after sweeping aside the Tampa Bay Rays, they've got four games against Baltimore. It's going to be interesting there. And then, of course, three games at Boston and then three more at Detroit. So it's the test's going to keep on coming, and we're going to see how this team responds.
It's going to be a fun year.
There's no question about that. Hope you guys enjoyed and had fun listening to us here on the Locked On Yankees podcast. A lot more to come. Make sure you check out the website, LockedOnYankees.com, for content from us and from our co-workers there as well. A lot more great content to come, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow Sean and I as well. You know, you can get Sean on Twitter at SSaintJ7.
Oh, thanks,
and
man.
I am at Gary H. Phillips. And we're both doing a ton of work outside of Locked On Yankees. So in addition to listening to us on here, listen to Sean on his other podcast, you know, read my writing for Sporting News and Jets Wire. Sean's at Jets Wire as well. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we hope you continue to do so.
See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.